Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition, the show that helps you connect with your intuitive nature. I'm Susan Jane and I'm your host for the show. And today we've got the lovely Julie on. I know I get excited about my guests, but I have good guests, so I can get excited about it. Julie today is talking about business. But what I really like about this episode is that we're not talking about business as such. We're talking about those steps that you need to take with changing your behavior, changing your habits for business. So we can actually put these sort of ideas and things like that in place to change other habits. But today we're focusing on business and how we can help change those business habits, those little habits, those little steps that we take to make things a little bit smoother and a bit easier. But I'm not going to tell you anymore because Julie's going to tell you all about it. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hello, Susan. Thank you so much for having me. What a fun time to see you again.
I know. We've connected a few times, which is really cool. Julie runs her own podcast, and so we've been backwards and forwards a few times. It's really nice to make those sort of connections. And let's face it, we're talking about business connections as well. So it's really lovely to make those business connections. And that's really important when you are in a business. But enough about that. Tell us a bit more. Tell us a bit more about you, who you are. How did you get to where you are now?
Well, thank you so much for asking. Hello, listeners. My name is Julie DeLuca Collins, and I am a tiny habits coach. I am also a doggy mama, but most importantly, I help individuals as a business and life strategy coach and authority mentor. I help individuals build their brand and also create the type of life that they want confidently by creating the right system so that they're not overwhelmed, so that they feel that they've got it and they are able to, more importantly, go out and create the impact that they want in this world. So that's a little bit about me. I'm married to my hashtag handsome hot husband who produces my podcast, The Cost of Confidence, and we have a radio show, Confident You. And it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm looking forward to it. So I'm sorry about those noises in the background. My Wi-Fi is a little bit funny at the moment, so I'm hoping this goes okay. Anyway, let's keep on moving. What is Tiny Habits? What is this all about? And again, I know you're a business coach, but I want to get an understanding of what Tiny Habits is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I discovered Tiny Habits because, like many of us, I knew that I needed to create habits to reach my goals in life and really be able to become a better version of myself. But there was something missing. Like many of us, I'd read all the different books on habits, The Power of Habit, Atomic Habits, and they're great. I love them. But again, there was something that wasn't quite necessarily, you know, hitting the spot for me. And then I heard a behavioral scientist speak. And his name is Dr. BJ Fogg. He is the founder of the Behavior Lab at Stanford University. He also wrote the book Tiny Habits. And all of the other books that talk about habits are based on his research of over 20 years. And when I started to hear about this whole tiny habits concept, it really made a lot of sense. Because I remember thinking on a Monday morning, for instance, that I was getting ready to do stuff for my business, or I wanted to jump on the treadmill, I thought, oh, I'm not motivated. How come I'm not motivated? And then I realized that motivation is only part of the equation when it comes to habits, when it comes to behavior change. So I started to consume Dr. BJ Fogg's content and really learn more about it. And then I thought, wait a minute, I need this for my life. And like most things that I do in my life, I do them selfishly for me first. And then I say, okay, now that I kind of have a handle on this, how can I help others that I might be struggling with the same thing? So I became a tiny habits coach in 2021. And from there, I started to see big momentum, not only for my personal, but more importantly for my business life. And now I use that framework as a tiny habits coach to help other clients really be able to leverage the power of behavior change in creating tiny, attainable, new 1% incremental change so that they can achieve the goals and create the consistent action that gets them traction for their life. So that's a little bit about tiny habits.
Yeah, I love that. And look, for the listeners too, just have to apologize. My internet is going a little bit out, in and out, so it is going a little bit funny, but we're gonna battle through. This is all part of okay. Our natural recording, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, no. And I am the best of us. Oh no. Absolutely. It does. And it's funny because I was doing readings yesterday and I've never had trouble with my laptop. This young gentleman came in and he was having all sorts of problems, and I was doing a reading for him and helping him out, doing a lot of coaching and counseling with him. But I couldn't get, the laptop kept on just playing up and playing up and playing up. And it was like, you're not meant to be doing that. You're meant to be doing something else. And it's really funny how you go with those synchronicities. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, leave that, talk to him. And then it all came good. And then we could continue on. So obviously, you know, you have to do the, you have to follow it along. You have to follow your gut. So the tiny habits was really what I really liked about this. And I don't know it all completely because I'm going to ask you a few more questions about it. But what I really liked is the fact that in business, things can get very, very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. In life, let's face it, in life.
Yes.
Very, very overwhelming. And it's really synchronistic that you're talking about this today, because the young gentleman I had yesterday was exactly the same. He was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what he was doing, didn't know where he was going, very, very muddled up. And I went straight to what you're talking about, those tiny habits. What is something that we can achieve now to take us on the right path, to get us going where we need to go? We don't need to do it all in one big hit. We just need to do it one step at a time. And that's what I think is really, really important, especially for women in business. Now, I don't mean to segregate women in that context, but when you're juggling babies, children, parents, even at our age, with parents that are aging, children that are growing up, grandchildren if need be, which I've got. As we're going through all that and trying to juggle all that and maintain a house and keep the hubby happy or the partner happy, and there is a lot of things and it can get really overwhelming. So these beautiful little one step at a time habits are perfect. But Julie, when you're doing this, is there a set habit that you need to do first, or is it the fact that you're teaching them different habits? Like, how does it work?
None of it. So let me tell you how it works. There is a simple way that we teach tiny habits. And number one, it's very important to understand that first there is the behavior that we want to create. So for instance, I'm going to give you an example. It has nothing to do with business. But it's important to understand, and this will make it very clear. So for me, in my personal life, one of the things that I wanted to be able to do is get healthy, right? So I had this vision of a healthier Julie, and one of the things that I identified, one of the habits that I identified that would help to support getting to my goal of being healthier, is I needed to drink more water. And by the way, a lot of us don't drink enough water. So if you have water near you, drink now. This is your reminder.
I'm doing it as you speak.
Perfect. So second, once we identify the behavior, in order for that habit or behavior to be in place, we need to have three things that are very important. Number one, we need to be motivated. Number two, there has to be the ability to do the behavior. And the last piece that we need is that we need to have something that reminds us, a prompt, a trigger that says, hey, do the behavior now, right? So behavior is what we want, or the habit. And then we have to have the motivation, the ability, and prompt. However, we don't always feel motivated, like I talked about, right? I would wake up in the morning sometimes and I go, oh my gosh, that's a lot of water. I can't drink that. Or if you want to jump on the treadmill, or if you have maybe 20 client calls that you need to do, you're going to be like, oh, I'm not motivated. Why? Because it's hard. We see this big picture and our brain is already getting into the overwhelm mode of how hard, how big, how long that's going to take, or maybe that we're not equipped to do it. So with the example of water, I began to identify that I wanted to drink more water. And using the method of tiny habits, I started to change that behavior. So first I identified, when do I have the ability to do the behavior? And what is going to be one thing that will remind me to do the behavior? If you are human like me, your brain likes to automate most of the things that we do. So what you want to do is find a behavior that's already in place, something that is already existing that you do every day without fail, and it's automated. You don't have to think about it. Once you have that particular behavior, right, and or that ability and that prompt that reminds you, you marry the new behavior. So let me give you an example of what I did. Every morning when I wake up, I come down the stairs and I have three adorable fur babies, dogs that need to be let out. They have to go out in the morning. So that's my prompt. That's part of what's already an established habit, something that I don't have to think about. I just come downstairs, I open the door, I let them out into the yard to go and do their business. So when that happens, that gives me the prompt and it reminds me, hey, you need to do your new habit, your new behavior, which is filling out my bottle of water. And Susan, here's where most of us go wrong. Think about what happens in January 1st. A lot of us are so motivated to go to the gym, but come the middle of the month, we're not. By the end of January, most people are not going to the gym. And the reason is because they're trying to rely on motivation to do something that's very hard for them, like go to the gym for an hour, or you know, do a hard weights class, or an exercise class that they haven't been doing. The premise of tiny habits is that you're going to create a new behavior, but you're going to make it so small, so easy to do that it is so easy to do that you're going to say, well, if that's all I'm doing, I can do that. And you're pairing that new behavior with the ability and the prompt, the place that reminds you. So now let's go back to my water example. In the morning when I come downstairs, my new behavior is not that I'm going to drink 80 ounces of water or a gallon of water for that matter. My new behavior is that I'm going to take my water bottle and I'm going to fill it with water. So again, the prompt is that the behavior that I already do is I let the dogs out. I have the ability because the bottle is right there next to the sink in the kitchen where I let the dogs out from. And then I fill my water bottle. Simple, small, tiny step in the right direction. And guess what? Here's where the magic happens. Dr. Fogg has found that we change not because we repeat a behavior multiple times, 21 days, 66 days, whatever it might be. Behavior happens when we feel good. So every time I fill my water bottle, I do the most important thing. I celebrate. I give myself a pat on the back, or I say, good job, Julie, for filling your water bottle. And now I am successful at this habit. And I bring the water bottle to my desk. And every time I finish a client call, right, that is another prompt. I have the ability because my water is here. And then I drink some water. And that's how I get my habit of water drinking going. The biggest thing is that even if I didn't drink any of the water, Susan, I am still successful because my tiny step, my tiny habit of filling my water bottle is that starter step that keeps me going. And I don't have to rely on the motivation, but I rely on the automation of pairing a new behavior with an existing one. So that's the tiny habits method. And that's how we begin and we coach clients. And by the way, I know that probably you're wondering, what happens and how does that apply to business? So I can definitely talk about it, but I'll let you ask the questions.
Oh, that sounds good. And it's really funny because you're talking about the water. That's exactly what I did. Like I would have my water bottle mm-hmm. and it'd be sitting there, and it was sitting there, and I would often drink it, and it was only a liter, or you know, half a liter or something. You know, it wasn't the full amount that you're supposed to drink. And that was one of my goals. It was like, oh, I want to increase my water intake because I had my blood test done, and you know, there it was a bit sluggish. It needs a bit more fluid. So I got the people on won't be able to hear this, but I ended up doing
love that.
2 liter jug, and that sits beside, because I'm on the computer most of the day, that sits beside me. Now I couldn't drink that 2 liters when I first started,
right?
But the difference is that instead of having a 1 liter bottle that I would drink and it would stay empty because I wouldn't refill it,
right,
I've now got a 2 liter one, and it's clear, it's see-through. I can see how I'm progressing. And like you said, I can celebrate it. So
that's right.
I didn't do the big 2 liter one to start with. I started smaller and worked my way up. And that, I really understand that. That was such a great example of it.
Yeah. And I have to tell you that, again, for many of us, we have a tendency, because our brain, this is how we're wired. Our brain is always going to focus on the negative. And every time that we beat ourselves up, every time that we say, oh, I didn't drink my water, or, oh, I didn't do this well, or whatever it is that we're saying to ourselves, the way that we judge ourselves, the way that we speak to ourselves, then our brain's like, oh, well, forget it. I'm a failure. And it begins to kind of go through that pattern already, as opposed to when you're celebrating, oh my gosh, look at me. I'm a girl who drinks water, right? You're starting to embody that new identity. You're starting to move in that direction. And it's something that I absolutely love. And I think that for most of us, we need to find a way of making it easier. Habits are like plants. If we plant a little seed, and by the way, I know that this is right up your alley. You plant a little seed, you're going to have something grow and blossom and grow big or expand in so many different directions. But we have to have the ability to plant that seed and know that it's going to grow. We're not going to speak to that little seed and like, oh, you better grow, or you seed, you're not going to blossom at all. We can't speak negatively, right? We have to have faith that, look at you, great job. I'm going to water you now, and I'm going to keep nurturing you. And then you begin to grow.
Yes. And like a seed, you don't see it growing until it comes through the soil.
That's so, right. You know,
there's a lot more happening, and it's getting the roots and getting that understanding before it actually comes through. So yeah, I really get that. I love that. Like, I didn't drink, because I was out yesterday, I didn't drink nearly as much water as I do normally. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. And if I don't drink my whole jug the next morning, I water the plant with it.
That's right.
And I'll start again, you know?
Start again. And most people, you know, think that in order, and, you know, the consistency is not that you're doing the action at 100%.
Yeah.
The consistency is that you're doing it 1%, right? Consistency is about showing up. Maybe today, all I can do is 1% better than before. But if you give yourself the opportunity to every day improve 1%, at the end of the year, you've improved 365 more ways than you did before. And many of us, what ends up happening is we go all in 100% today, and then there's nothing for a few days. And then we beat ourselves up. And then that creates more space between actually doing the action and not doing it. So I want to encourage your listeners, really give yourself the grace to know that every time you do even just a little bit, you're being successful.
I love that. Yeah. And because we all judge success in our different ways. So we've got to say that, you know, we've succeeded in that. And I've always been one to go, I would rather see that behavior, that habit, even with meditation, I always talk about it in that way. If you can only do 5 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever it is, do it, but do it every day. Or do it every weekday if the weekends don't suit you. Just do it every weekday, but create that habit, and then those habits extend and they get better.
Yeah. So
would you suggest, I want to talk about the business side in a minute, but I just want to get an understanding. When you're doing this, would you suggest that they start with something that they have full control over, like drinking water?
As simple as that? Well, I'm gonna recommend that you start with Dr. Fogg's favorite habit, and most of us tiny habit coaches do this every day. One of the best things that you can set yourself up for success is having the right mindset, and we call this the Maui habit, and it makes us feel good and puts us in the right frame of mind for the day. So every morning, right, this is your anchor moment that reminds you to do the behavior. So every morning when I wake up and I put one foot on the ground, right, that's my anchor moment. And then now I have the ability to do the habit. I will, right, because this is the recipe. So I'm giving you the recipe. Think of yourself after I blank, I will blank, and then celebrate. So after, when I wake up in the morning, I put one foot in the ground. I then say to myself, it's going to be a great day. And then I'm like, oh, yay, it's going to be a great day. And I do my little thumbs up, or I pat myself on the back, or I typically say to the dogs, hey, boys, it's going to be a great day, right? And then the dogs kind of dance around, and that's our little celebration. So that's a great way, whether you're trying to establish new habits for your personal life or your business, start off the day on the right foot and celebrate that you have the ability to acknowledge that you can make it a great day.
And we have full control over that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely full control over that. Okay, well, I'm going to try that, because I get up every morning and I go for a walk. So, you know, that's my outside, and, you know, I really enjoy that. But while I'm doing that, then I'm usually thinking, okay, how am I going to structure my day? Because that's my habit. It's like, how do I want to structure the day? What do I want to achieve? And I can do that with that space of walking. So, but I like that. It's going to be a great day. Cool.
Yeah.
And usually, funnily enough, when I think about it, usually when I am thinking about what I want to achieve for the day, it makes me feel like it's going to be a great day, because I have control over it.
And absolutely, and keep it small and think about, you know, for instance, I will tell you one other habit that has helped me tremendously. And again, it's a tiny little action. And let's go back to what the recipe framework is. After I blank, I do this, and then I celebrate. So at night, after I get in bed, my husband has one of those CPAP machines that he puts on so he doesn't snore. So after I get in bed and my husband puts his machine on, because he's going to use it every night, right? That's something that he has to do. So after he does that, I think of one thing that I am grateful for him and about him or about our life together. And then I celebrate. I'm like, oh, good job. I did that. So again, I am programming myself in a way that helps me feel more gratitude, to be present, to really start to wind down my day. And there's some days, you know, by the way, that I come to bed a little later, and this has been the case lately, and he's already asleep. So as I get into bed, right, then I think of one thing that I am grateful for as I get into bed. So I can adjust a little bit of what that prompt, what that anchor moment is. And this is something that it's easy. Any of you can do. Maybe you can, as you're getting into your car, going to the store, as you're putting on your seatbelt, you can say, every time I get in my car, I will be grateful that I have the opportunity to be alive, or I will take a deep breath and count to 10 and just really be present. So there's a lot of anchor moments throughout life. You don't have to do it big. Stay within maybe less than 3 minutes, something very tiny, because tiny is mighty, as Dr. Fogg likes to say.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's really good. And we can do that all the way through. But let's talk about business. So when we're talking about business side of things, I'm really understanding what you're saying about our general life and things like that. And I would imagine that business would be very similar. Obviously, it is very similar. However, when we've got these anchor moments, when we're looking at those sort of things, it's easy to say, you know, be grateful for this or drink more water. But when we start to get to the business side of it, it's really, it does become overwhelming. It does become huge. Marketing, are we putting systems in place? Am I doing phone calls? Am I doing, you know, there's so much to do. Where do you start with business as far as, I mean, I don't even know where to start. And I run a business.
Excellent question. So here is the first thing, and this is something that I teach my clients. Number one, you know, where your focus is, that's where your energy is going to flow. And I think that for many entrepreneurs, I do want to say this, that I see this a lot with my clients. And this is the first thing that I really want to help them and I help them with. They come in and they say, oh my gosh, I want to do this and I want to do that. And like you said, I got to market and how do I do the social media and do I have to send emails and how do I write the emails? And then they start going into all this overwhelm. The first and most important thing is you really need to identify the identity that you want. Right. So the identity, and this is one of the things that Tiny Habits really helps you with, is identifying who do you want to be. So, for instance, for me, like we talked with the water, I am a girl who drinks water every day. Right. I am also I am also a business owner that is productive. So what does that mean? I start to really analyze, well, what does it mean to be productive? There's two types of thing that many entrepreneurs do. They feel that if they are busy all day long, they're being productive. The problem is that 80% of what we accomplish in our life really comes from 20% of the effort that we put in. When we are bouncing from doing email, from then logging into Facebook to do our social media, but then we're looking at our calendar and maybe something else comes up, then we're allowing sort of life to happen by default instead of allowing life to happen by intentionality. And I know that this is your language. Intentionality is such an incredible tool that we don't leverage. So for instance, for my entrepreneurs, one of the first things that we talk about is, where do you want to be in 12 weeks? Where do you want to be after this period of 12 weeks? What are the goals that support the vision that you have for your business? So for instance, for me, I have a vision in which I am helping women entrepreneurs build their brand, make an impact, and create the steady income that they need, because they created this business because, yes, they want to give back, but they also maybe left a full-time job. And this is the opportunity for them to know that if they want to have the freedom and flexibility of income to live the life that they want, they need to go ahead and build their business around that. So once you create that vision and we start to put together the goals, right? So for me, I will give you an example. My goal for this quarter or the next 12 weeks, as we're ramping up into fall here in the United States, right? Because I know you guys are going into summer. One of the first things that I start to do is like, how do I want to end my year? Well, I want to bring in at least 24 new individuals to work with me in my masterminds. We have an additional 6 people that we want to go ahead and support and serve and help them bring their message out through their podcast. So those are 6 additional. So what is it going to take? Well, it's going to take me talking to more people, connecting, collaborating, networking, maybe putting myself in social media. One of the biggest goals that I had at the beginning of the year, Susan, is I wanted to deliver a TEDx talk. And what I did is I actually set that goal because I had that vision for myself. And I was chosen to be a TEDx speaker, right? But it happened because the daily action that I did supported what my goals. So as entrepreneurs, get clear with what your vision is for your life. Bring out 1 or 2 goals that you want to work on for a small amount of time, right? So the 12 week is probably a good chunk of time. If you want to do quarters, 90 days, you can do that as well. Next is create the daily task or things that you're going to work on. And by the way, I'm teaching you something that I learned from the 12 week year, which is a book by Brian Moran. Brian Moran and Michael, I can't think of his name, but I'll send you that info so you can share it in the show notes. The key thing about this is that every week, if I have a goal of maybe bringing in one client, there's certain tasks, right, that are important to be able to do. That means maybe outreaching to past clients. Maybe I want to go ahead and write a blog post. Perhaps I need to also do some networking or go to a speaking engagement. And then you start to every day, you plan out your week and you say, what are the tasks that are that 20% that are going to move me ahead, that are going to have the greater impact? I have a client who has a goal of booking 3 speaking engagements. And yesterday we were talking, and this is one of the goals that she has for the next 90 days. And when I asked, hey, tell me about your day. What are you working on? She's like, oh, I created a new planner for people to use. And I said, how is that getting you speaking engagements? And she said, oh, but I really felt this is where I wanted to go. I said, this is wonderful. I said, but I want to remind you that your daily action has to be in line with what your goal is. So the things that you do on a daily basis have to, you know, if we talk about, you know, for her, if she wants to be a speaker, then maybe she's going to set an hour aside in the mornings and she's going to go into LinkedIn, right? And she's going to reach out to individuals that are in her network and say, hey, I am looking for speaking engagements. Do you know of any conferences coming up, right? She could do that. She can attend a networking event in which she can attend maybe one or two, or she can have some coffee chats with people, or she can get on podcasts, right? That will get the word out that she's a speaker, that she speaks in these topics. So that, my friend, are very important things, because at the end of the week, I want my clients, and I do this for myself, is I go back and I say, these are my intentions for the week. These are the tasks that I said I need to do that supports that goal. And at the end of the week, I go and I measure. I measure to make sure that I checked off, did this, right? And then I can see if I am on track for what I'm trying to accomplish. As entrepreneurs, though, we begin our day and we're like, oh my gosh, let me go look at email. Let me see what's going on. And then we log into Facebook and then we're scrolling and we're like, oh, you know what? I should post about that. And then you get sidetracked. And for that reason, we don't make the forward movement that we want for our life and for our business. So how does tiny habits fit in? I tell my clients, you know what? If you get up in the morning, the first thing that you should be doing on a Monday morning is looking at your plan. And again, when I come to my desk, right, that's my anchor moment. I open my planner and I open my goals and I take a look and I said, okay, what are the things that I'm supposed to be working on today? And all I do is I open them and I look at them and then I celebrate. And guess what? That is all I am going for, just to open my plan, look at my plan and celebrate that I open my plan. Right now, in some days, I will actually make notes, keep going, but that's bonus. That's the bonus part. The most important thing is that I showed up and I did that tiny little behavior that then creates the momentum for my life.
Wow, I love that. I use Google Calendar. That's sort of my planner, because I can link all my emails. And so I open up my calendar and it's like, right, this is what the week looks like, you know, and I start to do the adjustments and making sure that everything's on track for that. So, yeah, really, I like that because it does make it, it does keep you on track. The planner, that aspect of it does keep you on track. And like you said, it's even just looking at it, I don't have to be doing anything, but you've got that mindset that's where you want to go.
100%.
Yeah, and in all honesty, if you don't achieve, if I don't achieve, there's a couple of tasks that I push forward to the next week. I might not achieve, but at least you're aware of it. And if anything goes wrong, I can turn around and go, well, you know what? That's because I saw these lovely, bright, shiny objects that I wanted to play with instead of actually doing my work. So,
yeah. You know, a lot of people, Susan, you know, they decide as they're going through the week, what are the tasks that they should be working on? And that's great. Most of us have been programmed to do that. But the reality is that we need to know in advance, what are the tasks? Have them all laid out so you're not guessing, well, I guess if I want to get clients, I should work on this. Or here, and by the way, my friends, this was me for many years until I realized that I needed to be already intentional and have it laid out, right? And the other thing too is for those of you who use a calendar, I would encourage you and invite you to try using a ideal calendar. I don't know if you know about the ideal calendar, but that's one of the things that I do, I would say, 3-4 times a year, because we have seasons in life, but it's important to know. So for instance, Mondays are my new networking days. Tuesdays are any recordings that I do for the podcast. Maybe Thursdays I will do recording for podcast too. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are client days. So I know there's some predictability in the actions that I'm taking. So I am not just like thinking, oh, what should I do today? Oh, I think I need to do my social media. Oh, wait, I need to make some sales calls. Where do I do that? No, I always have the time pre-programmed already. So I know what to expect on a daily basis.
I do the same. I thought I was just being a nerd.
No, you are a productivity queen.
I really did. I just thought I was being a nerd because I have mine quite segmented like that as well. It's because I know when I'm doing recordings for the podcast. I've got sort of set days for that. So I know that, you know, check my calendar that night before I go to bed. Have I got an early morning call, you know, and so you start to get that fluidity going through and consistency, and it just makes it so much easier. When I'm working for, because I do social media and marketing, I do digital marketing. When I'm working for them, it's those 3 days, you know, and this day's for that, and that afternoon's for this, and it's quite segmented. So
It's brilliant because, and here's what people don't really, they forget about. Our brain, we have a left brain and a right brain, and there's certain tasks, right, that are performed by one side of our brain and certain tasks that are performed by the other side. So for many of us, we are trying to go maybe from doing the financials for our business and then doing something creative. And then we're switch tasking between, and it takes us a little longer to focus, to concentrate, to be on target for what we're supposed to be doing. So for that reason, I have theme days, right? On the days that I'm supposed to be doing marketing or writing, I don't necessarily do the financials or do something that is like maybe content creation. I don't want to mix my brain sides. And then the other thing, make it doable. I like using the Pomodoro method. I don't know. Do you use the Pomodoro method, Susan? I bet you do, or maybe you've used it.
I've never heard of the Pomodoro method.
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you. It's one of my
favorite. I don't know what I do.
Okay. So the Pomodoro method was named after this gentleman called Pomodoro. I forget his first name. But basically, the system is very simple. You want to go ahead and our brain has the attention of about 17 to 20 minutes tops is really what our brain is programmed to be able to. After that, we start to kind of like, get distracted, right? And for many entrepreneurs, by the way, distracted is our middle name. So what I do is I will set 20-minute timers on my phone, and I will say, okay, I'm going to work on, let's say I want to work on a new plan, or I'm writing an article. Yesterday I was actually doing some writing, and my brain is like, oh, it's going to take so long. It's going to be so hard. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take a tiny habit. When I come to my desk, I will open the document where I'm typing the article, and then I'm going to celebrate. And then if I do more, great. If I don't, I already went and I achieved my goal of opening the document, right? So I implemented my tiny habit. Now, when I get started, I will then say, I'm not going to say her name, but you know, the phone, you can call her Siri. You can say, hey, Siri, set a 20-minute timer. And then I begin to work. When the timer goes off, then I stop, I get up, I go drink my water, or I stretch a little bit, and I give myself about 5, maybe 10 minutes of just a break from what I was doing. That Pomodoro, you will be surprised how much you are able to move and get accomplished. There's something else too within Tiny Habits that we call a swarm of bees behavior. I have a lot of clients that get really overwhelmed. They come to their desk in the morning because they don't even know what to do first, second, third, and they have all these papers and things going on. And that's very natural for many entrepreneurs. So what I will typically say to them is, I said, well, why don't, when you come to your desk, why don't you pick a song that enlightens you, that you love, that makes you feel so happy and excited. Turn on the song for 3 minutes and then pick a task. Maybe it's cleaning out your desk. Maybe it's going through email and trying to just go through emails. And by the way, I have a rule for email, Susan. If it's going to take you less than 3 minutes to answer an email, I don't answer it right then and there. I actually move it to a to-do list. But my goal is that as I open email, I go through, I'm like, delete, delete, delete. Okay, this one I can answer in 2 seconds. I can send that. And then I get it done. And when I'm done with email, I close it. Because here it is what's happening also for many entrepreneurs, right? If you have a task that you're working on and you have your calendar open, maybe you have your Facebook open, your LinkedIn, your phone notifications, right? When you're working on something and let's say, ding, you get a notification, then your focus reverts to whatever that is. And then it takes you at least 10 minutes to recalibrate and for your brain to enter into the same level of concentration that you were at before. So it's very important. I don't have notifications turned on my phone. I typically close things. Okay, I do have a lot of documents open, but I typically close other things because I don't want to be pulled away, be distracted. I want to be in the moment, giving the attention to what we're going through.
I totally and absolutely agree. Completely, 100%. I do not have any notifications. The only notifications I have on my phone is messages from the phone number. Mm-hmm. So I know, I mean, we're getting bombarded with those a little bit now, but I've blocked them. But I need to be just open in case my kids send a message. The phone is always on silent. Mm-hmm. And if it buzzes, I can have a look, don't want to answer it, you know, or I'll do it later. But no notifications on my computer at all, because I don't do that 20-minute method, but I'm one of those zoners. So when I'm getting into that zone, I just power on ahead. But as soon as I stop, it's like, okay, I need a break.
You're in the flow.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a flower or a zoner. Yep. And I get so much done. It's like I go, okay, I want to create some posts for Facebook. I will create a lot of them, get all the wordings, get it all done, get it all, and I'll schedule them. And I won't go on Facebook again.
Yes.
I'll schedule them. I won't go on Facebook. And then I go on Facebook or on social media or on Insta when I want to, not when it's telling me that you've got a notification. You got a notification. It's like, no, you're not controlling my life. I'm controlling it.
Yeah, because most of the time, Susan, email, for instance, it is not your priorities that you're actually checking for. When someone sends you an email, it is their priority that they're communicating to you. 9 times out of 10, they want you to click on their link, go to their thing, buy the thing. And by the way, I'm a business owner. I send emails to my clients and I send them in the hopes that they're going to open, that they're going to click, they're going to follow me, that whatever it is, the call to action that I have. So there's nothing wrong with that. But what I want you to know is that there is a time, there is a place, And you need to prioritize yourself, your dreams, your goals. And the way to do it is by being aware. Again, revisit the vision you have for your life. Remember, if this is the vision, what do I need to do, right? If I want to live a healthy life, I want to be have this vitality and strength and be nimble and grow to an older age gracefully and strong, right? Then that means that my goal may be that I go for a walk daily. And what are the tactics that I'm going to take to get for a walk? Okay, I need to have my clothes ready to go for a walk. I need to go ahead and make sure that I put it in my calendar, right? Maybe I'll invite a friend to go with me, but make sure that your goals have the things that you need to do under them every day so that there is clarity for you.
Yeah, I love that. We are getting low on time, Julie, so we do have to wrap it up. Sorry about that.
But no apologies.
The other aspect I wanted to say also with the emails is that that's my first thing in the morning when I get up. I check my emails and I do exactly that. My emails I use that as a to-do list. So if I have to answer something that's going to take a bit longer than 3 minutes, that sits in the to-do list and I know it's to be done. Everything else gets folded, filed, or deleted or whatever.
That's right.
So I've only got those ones that I have to answer. And then I can allocate some time later in the day. And that's when I visit the emails again for the second time. Yeah. I'll respond knowing that I've got so many to respond to. Yep. I can respond to them then. I've allocated the time. Mm-hmm. And then in any new ones that have come in, I do the same with. I've allocated the time to answer them or I delete them, move them, whatever they are. So you're in control of it. And I think
absolutely.
That's what the beauty is in what you're doing is that you're in control of your life and of your business. So that's really good. But I have to say, any last things before we say goodbye, because we're getting low.
Well, I have to tell you, it's such a pleasure again to spend some time with you. You're an incredible individual. You have a beautiful platform. I am indebted and grateful to you. I want to tell people and encourage you, start small, start tiny, and make sure that you surround yourself with the communities that are going to support you, that are going to remind you of the things that you want for your life. Because sometimes we get sidetracked, but we need to go ahead and recalibrate. And if we have someone in our corner letting us know, hey, don't forget, this is what you wanted to do and this is why, right? Then we can go back and recalibrate. And it's all about practice. We are all practicing. Never are we an expert at anything. And if we are an expert, that means that we've spent 10,000 or more hours doing it. So be patient, be willing to fail, be willing to recalibrate, and most of all, use your intuition as you're going forward.
Thank you so much, Julie. Thank you for being on the show. That was gorgeous.
Oh, you are amazing. Thank you so much, my friend. It's been so fun to talk to you and to be here with the listeners.
Cool. Now stay there because I want to talk to you when we're finished. So guys, go on to Julie's website. So goconfidentlycoaching.com. I forgot to mention it earlier on, but the link will be down in the bottom there for you to have a look at. But that's all it is. It's small steps at a time. Don't be looking at the whole big picture. Yes, we want to be up there. We want to grow the business and all the rest. It's one small step at a time. Make sure you celebrate those small steps, you know, like give yourself the pat on the back. I really liked how she celebrates. It was really, it's empowering. It's empowering to you because so often people will put us down or we will put ourselves down. Goodness, I'm really good at doing that. But it's not about that. It's about empowering ourselves too. And the only way we can go forward and help our clients is to be that person. So to be empowered yourself to be able to go forward. Wow, I'm really talking a lot now. So I do. Guys, if you do want to learn to trust your intuition, want to connect with your intuition, want to connect with your intuitive nature, jump onto my website, intuitivenature.com.au. And I've got online courses there. I've got books there. I've got stuff there that you can have a look at, free stuff too. So jump onto the website. And I will say bye for now. I will see you next week. We've got another show up for next week. And we will have a great week till then. Okay, guys, bye for now.